Let me ask you to open your Bibles, please, to the book of the Proverbs. I want to talk to you tonight about wisdom. The book of the Proverbs, chapter number 24. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Proverbs, chapter 24, wisdom. Proverbs, the 24th chapter, I'm going to read the first 9 verses as a place for us to start. And then we're going to share some other scriptures along the way. I want to deal with a basic need of each Christian. I want to deal with something that we all need to have a good understanding of. Be not thou envious against evil men, neither desire to be with them. For their heart studieth destruction, and their lips talk of mischief. Through wisdom is an house builded, and by understanding it is established. And by knowledge shall the chambers be filled with all precious and pleasant riches. A wise man is strong, yea, a man of knowledge increaseth strength. For by wise counsel thou shalt make thy war, and in the multitude of counselors there is safety. Wisdom is too high for a fool. He openeth not his mouth in the gate. He that deviseth to do evil shall be called a mischievous person. The thought of foolishness is sin, and the scorner is an abomination to men. Now, this is not the main idea of what I want to share with you tonight, but notice that 9th verse, just as a little aside. The thought of foolishness is sin. You know what that means? Foolishness and foolish thoughts and foolish actions. Do you remember the night I preached on Ephesians 5:4? Foolish talking and jesting and all that kind of thing? That's what this is talking about. The thoughts of foolishness is sin. And it's not to be played with. It's not something to be toyed with. It's a serious business. That just aside. What I want to talk to you about tonight, however, is wisdom. All through the Word of God, we hear this word wisdom. We see it over and over and over again. I don't know if you're like me, but for a long time I wondered and wondered, what does it mean, wisdom? I heard that Job, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, and Song of Solomon were called the wisdom literature of the Word of God. They were the wisdom books. And I knew that those books were full of the word wisdom, but what did that mean, really, that those are the wisdom books, that's the wisdom literature? What is wisdom? It's a good word. We hear it a lot. But what does it really mean? What is wisdom? And as I was meditating on that some years ago, the Lord just showed me very simply that wisdom is knowing the right thing to do at the right time. Purely and simply, wisdom is knowing the right thing to do at the right time. Wisdom is not intellectual learning. Wisdom is not something that you learn in a classroom necessarily. Wisdom is that capacity to know the right thing to do at the right time. It is guidance. It is insight. It is understanding. That's why you see these words, wisdom and understanding, used so often, almost interchangeably, in the Word of God. Now look with me at the 3rd verse. Through wisdom is an house builded. Through wisdom. And by understanding, it is established. Now that truth applies to your life, in my life. It applies to our families. It applies to our businesses. It applies to the work of the house of God. Through wisdom, through knowing the right thing to do at the right time, that's how a church is built. That's how a family is solidly established. That's how a business is established and prospers. Through wisdom, through having insight, having a good understanding, knowing the right thing to do. I don't know, but I wonder if it's a little like, is it like horse sense or common sense? It's like that. You know people that have a lot of intellectual knowledge, but they don't have any common sense? You know folks like that? Some of you may be like that or think that you are like that. You may have been accused of being like that. Somebody may have said about you, you may have even had your father say about you, you don't know enough to come in out of the rain. Anybody ever had that said about them? You don't have to hold your hands up. So if you're still that way, we don't want you to be identified. But knowing the right thing to do at the right time, that wisdom is what causes a house to be built. If that does not exist, the house won't be built. The church won't be built, the family won't be built, and the business won't be built. The relationship won't be built. If we do not know the right thing to do at the right time, everything we touch is going to turn to mud and it's going to crumble in our hands. Now, some of you have had experiences like that. Some of you are in the middle of some of those things right now. You are confronted with decisions and the choice is, do I do this or do I do that? Or perhaps you don't even have a choice. You're still asking the question, what do I do? You are in need of wisdom. If that's the question that's in your heart, what do I do? You need wisdom. And it's through wisdom that a house is builded. The next verse says that a wise man, the fifth verse, a wise man is the one that's really strong. The one who has wisdom is the one that is a strong man. Not the one necessarily that looks strong or talks strong, but the one who has wisdom is the strong man. Now, if you'll turn with me to the book of the Psalms, turn over to Psalm 32. I want to explore that just a little deeper. We see out of the Proverbs how absolutely essential wisdom is. If you're not operating in wisdom, what you do is not going to succeed. It will fail. It can't help but fail. God's Word says that the only way a house is built is on wisdom. How many of you, just think just for a moment, how many of you have ever said this? If I had it to do over again, I wouldn't do it that way. Now, don't raise your hands. But have you ever said that about any circumstance in your life? What you did was operate outside of wisdom. Later on, you saw the foolishness of what you did. You said, if I had it to do over again, what I did was not wise. I would do it differently. God's desire for us is for us to operate wisely all the time. He wants us to have wisdom. He wants us to operate in His wisdom. Psalm 32 and verse number 8, the promise of God Almighty, listen carefully. I, God, will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. His promise to His people is to instruct us, teach us, guide us. He said, I will give you wisdom so that what you are building will stand. What you are doing will prosper. What you are working on will be prosperous and profitable. While we're there in the Psalms, hold your finger there, Psalm 32. We're going to come back to it. But look with me at Psalm 1. You might be saying, it's impossible for a man. It's impossible for a man to claim that everything he does will be prosperous or everything that he does will be successful. If you believe that, beloved, either you don't know God or you're not familiar with His Word. All right? That's not true. That's not true. Our God is not a 98% God or a 99% God. He's a 100% God. Psalm number 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. He says, happy is the man that does not take his advice and counsel from ungodly people and refuses to scorn or to be part of sinners' ways. But his delight, whose delight? The happy man's, the blessed man. His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in His law doth he meditate day and night. And he, that is the man who is happy and the man who is meditating in God's law, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and get this, whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Does your Bible say that? Whatsoever. Whatsoever. Now that's all inclusive, isn't it? There's no restriction on whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Now, Paul said that let everything be established in the mouth of two or three witnesses. And so we want to be sure we're not carried away with some kind of misinterpretation here of one isolated scripture in the Word of God. And so just to assure yourself on that, let's go to the book of Joshua, the first chapter. Now, keep holding your finger at Psalm 32. We're not done with that. Joshua, the first chapter, and verse number 8. Let's start at 5, I think, get the context. This is our God speaking to the man Joshua. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not forsake thee, nor fail thee. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land, which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever. There's another one of those soevers. Whithersoever thou goest, wherever you are. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. God's desire for his people is to prosper and to have good success in whatsoever they do. And his promise, according to Psalm 32 and verse 8, is, I will instruct thee, I will teach thee, I will guide thee. If that's true, why are so many Christians making so many mistakes, going so many of them the wrong direction, so many of them doing things that are not wise, and they know it, and everybody else knows it? Why is that true? God said, I will. He said, I'll teach. I will guide. I will instruct. But in some believers' lives, it doesn't seem to work that way. Read the 9th verse. Be ye not as the horse or as the mule, which have no understanding, whose mouth must be held in with bit and bridle, lest they come near unto thee. He said, I will instruct you and I will guide thee and I will teach thee, but don't you be like a horse that I have to jerk around with a bridle and a bit. Because if you're operating that way, it's not going to work. It's not going to work the way I intend for it to work. Many of God's people are operating in that area right now. Many of God's people are operating outside of wisdom, operating according to their own desires and their own thoughts, not according to the wisdom of God. Therefore, the house shall not be built. Turn with me now to Isaiah, the 30th chapter. That identifies the problem, and now we're going to see if there's a solution. Isaiah chapter 30 and verse number 21. Now listen very carefully tonight, because we're going to look at a number of scriptures, and I'm going through a maze here. And if you'll follow me along scripture by scripture, something will open up for you tonight that will protect you in the future and perhaps deliver you out of something you're in right now. Isaiah 30, verse number 21. This is the promise of God. Listen carefully. And thine eyes. Whose eyes? Whose eyes? My eyes. Not somebody else's eyes, but my eyes. Underline that. Thine eyes. Okay? Thine eyes. Are you in Isaiah 30, verse 21? Huh? Ears, ears, ears. I'm sorry. Ears, ears. Ears. Ears, of course. Ears. Isn't that what I said? I said eyes, did I? Well, it's in the neighborhood, isn't it? It's right around the corner from the ears. It's an easy mistake to make. Huh? Need your love right now. Thine ears. Thine ears. Okay, don't underline eyes. Underline thine. All right, underline the word thine. It's very important. God's promise is to work through thine own ears. He said in Psalm 32:8, I will teach thee, I will guide thee, and I will instruct thee. And this is how he's going to do it. Thine ears shall hear a word behind thee, saying, this is the way, walk ye in it, when ye turn to the right hand, and when ye turn to the left. Now, what's God's promise? God said that as you are walking through your life, as you are day by day having no anxiety for tomorrow, but just taking care of the decisions that have to be made today, and you're walking along, keeping your eyes on the Lord, and all of a sudden, for some reason that you can't explain, you begin to wander off to the right, off the path. The Lord said, in thine ears you will hear a voice saying, this is the way, walk ye in it. Now, do you understand what that means? Do you understand what that means? God's promise is to speak to you individually and personally. He will give you personally guidance, instruction, wisdom, so that your house can be built, so that you will be strong. The wise man is strong. He said, I'll speak to your ears. Now, what frequently happens to us is we do not know these scriptures. We do not know the ways of God. We haven't either. We haven't been taught, or we haven't listened, or one, whatever the reason is. And we're walking along like this, and we begin to veer like this because we're looking the wrong direction, or we're sky watching, or whatever it is. And we're about to tumble over the precipice, and we hear a voice saying behind us, hey, over here, this is the way. But we are so busy sky watching, we go like this. And the first thing you know, we tumble down. And we fall. Then some kind good Samaritan has got to come along and lift us up out of the ditch in which we have fallen, put oil on our wounds, fix us up, take us to an inn, and provide for us. Whereas if we would have listened to God in the first place, we never would have fallen off. Do you understand that? Has this ever happened to you? Thine ears will hear a voice. Not somebody else's ears will hear the voice. You get that? Thine own ears will hear the voice. When God wants to give you direction and instruction, He'll speak to you. And He'll warn you. And if you'll listen, He won't have to do any more. You straighten right up, you go straight on the way the Lord wanted you to go. All right, now turn with me to Proverbs once again, 20. And let's find out, how does this happen? Where do we hear that voice? How is He going to accomplish this? Proverbs chapter 20 and verse number 27. So I want to check another scripture here. Just read that 27th verse. Mm-hmm. Okay. Proverbs 20 and 27, the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. searching all the inward parts of the belly. Now, the belly in this reference means the innermost being of a man. It doesn't mean his stomach where he eats. It means his innermost being. The spirit of a man is the candle of the Lord. Now, what he means by that is very simply this. Now, listen carefully. You'll get this picture real clearly. If you were going into a dark basement, you would light a candle to light your way, to provide you guidance, to illuminate the path ahead so that you would not hurt yourself as you walked into the basement. Is that right? That candle would illuminate your way, would give you guidance and instruction. You'd be able to see. The Bible says that a man's own spirit is the candle of the Lord. When the Lord wants to show you the way ahead, He will show you by the candle of your spirit. He will speak to your spirit man, not here, here. He will speak to your spirit and tell you, this is the way, walk thou in it. Now, how many of you understand that? Just say amen if you do. Amen. All right. He's not speaking to someone else to speak to you. He's speaking to you. This is guidance in your own personal affairs, guidance in your own personal life. The spirit of a man is the candle of the Lord, not maturity decision, and not best friend counsel. The spirit of a man is the candle of the Lord. When God wants to speak to you about your personal affairs, He will speak to you through your own spirit. And if you do not have a bit in your mouth like an old mule, see, going this way, I'm going this way, I know this is the way I'm supposed to go, and God's going to jerk back on that bit and get you straightened up. And He may have to make use of other means. But if you're walking with the Lord, and if you're listening for His voice, and if you're really interested in doing what He wants you to do, God will impart wisdom to your human spirit right here. This is where He'll speak to you. All right, how's He going to get that done? Turn with me to Jeremiah, the 31st chapter. And look with me at the 31st verse and following. Jeremiah 31, 31. Behold, the day is come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break, although I was an husband unto them, saith the Lord. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my law, I will put my instruction, I will put my ways in their inward parts and write it in their hearts. And I'll be their God, and they shall be my people. Now the Spirit of the Lord spoke through Jeremiah and said, there's a day coming that I'm going to make with my people a new covenant, a new contract, in which I'm going to put inside them my laws and my ways. Prior to this time, the only way that you could receive wisdom from God, or the primary way, was to do the law. Psalm 1 said, meditate in the law, meditate in the word of God. Joshua 1:8 said, meditate in the word of God. Keep the word in your mouth. Then you'll be prosperous. It was in the word. God said, under a new covenant, I'm going to put it in their hearts. Not just on a book. I'm going to put it in their hearts. I'm going to write my desires and my ways and my laws on the inside of them. Well, that'd be a good thing if, you know, if a man could, if God could do that, that would be terrific. Because if He wrote His laws on my heart, then if I did what seemed to be right to me, motivated by my reborn spirit, it would be right, wouldn't it? Now listen to me again. If God's laws were written on my heart, if I did what my heart was telling me to do, it would be right, wouldn't it? Is it? It is. It is. Now then, let's find out how He does that. Turn with me to Colossians, the first chapter. Oh, hallelujah. 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 Colossians, the first chapter. This is Paul's prayer for the Christian church. This was his prayer for the church at Colossae, and this is his prayer for us. We're the Christian church. This is his desire. Verse number 9, Colossians, that's New Testament now, first chapter, and verse number 9. You know, if you can, for those of you that are brand new believers and don't know your Bible very well, if you can get in the shuns, you're right in there. You know, the Galatians and the Ephesians and the Philippians and the Colossians and the Thessalonians. If you get in that section, you see all of those shuns are there together. And so you just flip a few pages, you'll be right there. All right, Colossians, first chapter, verse number 9. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Our prayer is that you would be filled with the knowledge of the will of God and all wisdom and spiritual understanding, in order that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in just a few of your good works. No, being fruitful in everything you do. By wisdom is a house builded. Do you see that principle? You see, it's God's desire that in every work that we do, that we be prosperous, that we be fruitful and increasing every day in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet. In other words, made us able or qualified to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Now, when I first, after I had received Christ and been filled with the Holy Spirit, and the Lord had me reading all the way through the Bible, not from front to back, but book after book, and he would just tell me which ones. And I remember it wasn't this Bible, it was in another Bible. And I remember coming to that verse, that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will. And the Holy Spirit just rose up in me, and I just cried out, Lord, that's what I want. I want to be filled with the knowledge of your will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. And I prayed that prayer so that I might be fruitful in everything, so that I might be strengthened, that I might walk worthy, and so on. And I prayed that over myself. I kept on reading on through Colossians. I got over in the second chapter, and I'm just merrily reading along through chapter 2, and I got down there in the second verse, the last line of the second verse, and it says, and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. All wisdom and all knowledge is in Christ. Now, if that's true, do you believe that's true? All wisdom, all knowledge, all understanding is in the man Christ Jesus. Now, if you receive into your heart the man Christ Jesus, what do you receive into your heart? Wisdom. How much wisdom? All wisdom. Does that blow your mind? It blows mine, just wide open. I do not understand it, but I believe it because God said it. Now, not only did he say it here, if you'll turn back in the shuns a little bit to 1 Corinthians chapter number 1, let's see this ratified to the Corinthian church. I know this is somewhat involved tonight, but I just believe that the Spirit of the Lord will give you understanding in it, give you a revelation in it. You begin to get a hold of it, and then the Lord will start to open it up to you. You'll have, this Holy Spirit will have something to work with here. 1 Corinthians chapter number 1 and verse number 24. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God, and the wisdom of God. Same principle. Jesus Christ does not contain the wisdom of God. He is the wisdom of God. Jesus himself is the wisdom of God. Now look at the 30th verse. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus. How many of you here tonight are in Christ? In Christ. Born again, believers in Jesus Christ. You're in Christ. This is about you. Paul is telling us something about ourselves. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom. Jesus is made unto us wisdom. When you receive Christ as your Savior, you receive into your spirit all wisdom. You receive into your heart the law of God written on the fleshy tables of your heart. Inside you dwells all wisdom, all understanding, all knowledge. Inside you is the answer to every question that you have. Inside you is all instruction, all guidance, all teaching. It's in there. Now the problem we have as Christians is not getting it in there. Is getting it from here to here, and then from there, working it out in our own life. Is that right? Most believers do not know what we've just learned tonight. Most Christians are still looking for wisdom. And it's inside us. It's here. He says, thine ears shall hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. What voice is that? It's the one that comes up out of your spirit. It's the one that comes up out of here. The spirit of a man where Jesus lives. That is the candle of the Lord. And when God wants to give you direction and instruction, he will speak out of your spirit. Now we're talking about personal guidance, personal wisdom, personal instruction. Very important that you get this. Now, the misunderstanding of this truth, or the lack of understanding of it, is precisely the error that has destroyed the Pentecostal church. The lack of understanding concerning this truth is exactly what has stunted the growth of the Pentecostal movement that began way back in the early 1900s. God's Holy Spirit was poured out in the world through the Pentecostal movement. But you know what the Pentecostals began to do? The Pentecostals began to do like this. God spoke to me this morning while I was praying and told me to tell you that you are supposed to do thus and so. And God spoke to me while I was praying yesterday and said that, brother, you're supposed to quit your job. You're supposed to move to California. He's got something really good out there for you. And you, sister, God says that he's got your husband picked out and he's living in the house right next door to you in all these years you haven't seen. But that's your man. See? How many of you have seen that? Have heard it and have experienced it. All too often, the personal prophecy. God told me to tell you that you are supposed to thus and so, and that kind of personal ministry that is not of God has destroyed individuals, destroyed families, destroyed churches, destroyed ministries, destroyed businesses. And for those that aren't destroyed, they are living in a constant state of frustration and spiritual agony. Because this is what is set up in a person's life when that kind of thing happens. When I say to this sister, I'm going to use her as an example here again. If I speak this word to her and say, God tells me that he's got your husband picked out and he know, and I tell you who that man is and you're supposed to marry him. But in her heart, you see, down where her candle is, she said, hey, wait a minute, I don't have any feelings towards that guy. You know, he's probably an all right guy, but I don't care for him. I don't have any desire towards him. I just, I just don't witness to that, but gee, if God said so, but what's wrong with me? How come I don't know that? He told me that it is, and he's a Christian, and he walks close to God, and he hears from God, and he's telling me that this is my husband, but I don't feel that way. And that a tremendous kind of a torment is set up on the inside of her. She begins to doubt everything she's ever heard from God. And the agony that produces in a life cannot be described. You have to experience it. I mean, it is torment. It's torment. It's torment. Now, the only reason I'm convinced, the only reason for the charismatic movement in the last 15 or 20 years is this very thing we're talking about right now. God's raising up a people who will follow the candle of their own spirit, who will learn how to listen to the voice behind them that says, "This is the way, walk in it." I want you to turn with me now over to you're right there in 1 Corinthians. Let's make one stop over before we go to James. Go to chapter 14 of 1 Corinthians. Let's just look at this one verse. Now, some of you have experienced this. Some of you had sufficient confidence in the voice of your own spirit. Some of you had trained your own reborn human spirit to the point where you had faith in the ministry of the Spirit in your spirit, that you rejected these kinds of personal instructions that were coming to you. Praise God for that. Others, perhaps, are still suffering or still having questions. You know, the worst thing that could happen if this poor sister would get yoked up to some clown that God never meant for her. And because of her love for God, she would serve that man faithfully for the next 50 years. God would honor that best he could. But there'd be no way that she could really ever experience the fullness that God has provided for her. 1 Corinthians 14, verse number 10, Paul said this, "There are, it may be, so many kinds of voices in the world, and none of them is without signification." There are many voices in the world. You better know which one to listen to. You better know what one to listen to, or you're in for trouble. The Lord wants us to walk a straight path. He wants us to prosper in everything we do. When we undertake something, He wants us to do it in wisdom so that it will be built, not fall down. Every time I see one of God's churches attempt something and it fails and falls, it just brings reproach upon the cause of Jesus Christ. And it frustrates me, if you want to know the truth. People who thought they were hearing from God weren't hearing from God at all. All right, let's go over to the book of James and let's examine how it is that we can distinguish among all of these voices. How do we know which one that we're to follow? How do we know which one is giving us wisdom? And how do we know which one is perhaps trying to lead us astray? Now watch this carefully. Book of James, chapter number 3. Are you learning anything?
Amen.
Verse number 13. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Okay, that's the question. Whose word do I listen to? Who has this wisdom? Everybody says, "I know what God's telling us to do. We're supposed to thus and so." Who do you listen to? Who is the wise man and endued with knowledge among you? That's the question we're asking, isn't it? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. Let him show out of his conversation, that means his manner of life. Watch his manner of life. Observe him. Observe what he does. Observe the results of his so-called wisdom. Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But, now listen carefully. If ye have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. For this wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. There are two kinds of wisdom. There is the kind that comes from God. It's the result of His law written upon a believer's heart. And there is a kind that is inspired by the devil. It comes up out of the pit and it appeals to the sensual nature of man. It appeals to our emotions. It appeals to our fleshly desires. There are both kinds. The way you tell them apart, he's beginning to give us instruction. He said, if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, don't glory about that kind, because the godly kind of wisdom is not produced in that kind of an atmosphere. The word envy literally means jealousy and resentment. The word strife literally means conflict and discord. Verse 16 says that where envying and strife is, where jealousy, resentment, conflict, and discord is, there follows behind it confusion and every evil work. Jesus said something back in the 7th chapter of the book of Matthew. He said, when you have a question, beloved, you shall know them by their fruits. You watch what it is that they are saying, and then notice what kind of fruit is produced from the seeds that are sown from that mouth. Do you follow me? Let me say that again. The words that we speak are seeds. God's word is full of that truth. God's word is a seed. Our words are seeds. And when we speak, what grows up? If confusion grows up and every other kind of evil work, then you can see that the wisdom, you see, that was in that word that was sown, that seed that was sown, is earthly, sensual, and devilish. It's not of God. But verse number 17 says this, but the wisdom that is from above is first of all pure. It's pure. It's not a little bit of black and a little bit of white. It's not a little bit of good and a little bit of bad. It's all good. It's pure. It's pure. It will not harm you. Then peaceable, which is the exact opposite of what? Confusion. 1 Corinthians, the 14th chapter, says that God is not the author of confusion, but of peace. The wisdom that comes from above will produce peace. The wisdom that comes out of the pit will produce confusion. All right, now let's see, how do you work that out? Let's suppose I were to say to this sister, let's just use you as an example. I don't know whether you're getting ready to get married or not, but just using you as an example here. If I were to say to her the very thing that I suggested here a few minutes ago, that God tells me about you that you're to marry such and such a guy, and immediately inside you sets up this confusion. Immediately inside you, you just feel uneasy. You're kind of unsettled with that. I don't know. I love him, and I know he hears from God, but that just doesn't register with me. It's something in there. But maybe it could be, you know. We went to grammar school together. I did kind of like him back in the 6th grade. He was my, yeah, maybe, but I don't know. I just don't feel anything towards him. You know what that is? It's confusion, pure and simple. You don't know what to do. You don't know what to do. That's confusion. When you have confusion, the instruction that you have received is from the pit. Now, if it's godly wisdom, if I said to her, I believe that God would have you thus and so, and just in her spirit, she says, oh, yeah, that's right. Just that peace, you know, just come on her. That's right. There's a confirmation in her spirit, and she knows that that's right. You know where that wisdom comes from? God. God. Now, you watch the fruit that grows up in your own life and in the lives of other people. Now, in a body such as ours, where the Spirit of God moves with such liberty and such freedom, it's very easy for us to miss God if we if we're not very careful. The scripture says to be sober and be vigilant, because your adversary goeth about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Now, you may think that the devil has given up on you, but I have a word for you. He's not going to give up on you till you draw your last breath. When did he give up on Jesus? When Jesus was bleeding out your sins on Calvary. That's when he gave up. And it's the same way with us today. You may think that you have won every victory that you're ever going to have to win, and you're just going to float through life. If that's true, then Jesus didn't understand anything when he said, as long as you're in the world, you're going to have tribulation. Are you still in the world? Do you plan to be in the world till you die? Then you're going to have tribulation. I mean, any fool can see that. And so, your enemy and my enemy would like to destroy us. He delights in causing us to stumble and fall. When we should be walking over here doing what God's asked us to do, we're busy trying to patch up our bruises while we're laying beaten and messed up at the side of the road. Put out of commission. And the way he does it, one way he does it, is this very way right here. In a body such as ours, where the Spirit flows very freely, we must be very careful. We must be very vigilant. We must be attentive. We must understand how to judge the wisdom that is coming. If we get God's wisdom, we're going to be established and builded, and we're going to be strong. But if we get that other kind of wisdom and act on it, we're going down the tubes. As individuals, as families, and as the whole body. Now, I don't know how much of this has gone on. I know some of it has. And I know that it probably always will, because of the way the enemy likes to work. There have been and will likely continue to be occasions when a precious brother or a precious sister, for whatever reason, has heard what they believe to be the voice of God and gives you personal direction and personal instruction. You better know how to evaluate that. You had better know how to deal with that. If it's sensual and devilish and earthly, it'll produce confusion in your life, it'll produce strife in your life, it'll produce conflict in your life, and every other kind of evil work. It's like a sucker punch. It'll take you right down. Now, you don't have to receive it. You just reject it. But you must watch for the fruit that it produces. The wisdom that comes from above is pure. It's peaceable. What else is it? It is easy to be entreated. It is gentle. It is full of mercy and good fruits. It's without partiality, and it is without hypocrisy. Judge what is coming on that basis. If what comes produces confusion and conflict and discord and every other kind of evil work, then my counsel to you is to reject it. Now, it doesn't matter whether it's coming to you through another person, another individual, or whether, you know, devil can speak to your mind. Devil can speak to your mind. He can't talk to you here, but he can talk to you here. That's why it's very important that we learn as Christians how to listen to the voice of our own spirit, how to differentiate between what's bubbling up from the spirit and what's coming at us externally from the mind. Romans chapter 8 tells us that there's a battle going on in our mind, and to be carnally minded is death. But to be spiritually minded, in other words, to be influenced by what comes out of the spirit, is life and peace. Peace. Now, if you don't remember anything else I said tonight, I know that I've kind of gone like, it is kind of a maze, but it is in your spirit. And so that's a good place for it to be. But remember this. I want to reinforce this tonight. If what you are receiving and you think it's from God, if it is, regardless of where it comes from, if it is producing in you or in the person through whom it is coming, confusion, discord, strife, envy, jealousy, and resentment, if it's coming from that kind of a well, And if it's producing like in you, then reject it. You don't have to understand it. All you have to do is recognize what it tastes like. If you take a bite out of a piece of fruit and it's sour, what do you do after you put it in your mouth? You go on, chew it up and swallow it and eat the rest of it? That would be stupid. You spit it out. You spit it out so it doesn't hurt you. You go on and eat it, let it get down in your stomach, you're going to get sick. But if you take a bite out of a good piece of fruit and you taste it, and bless God, that's really good. That lines up with your taste buds. You just go on, take it right down. See, eat all of it you can get. Do you understand what I'm saying? I believe you do. It's practical instruction out of the Word of God how we are to live as believers. Through wisdom is an house builded. Look back in Proverbs 24 again, and let's just tie these loose ends together with the scripture with which we opened. So you notice when that wisdom comes to you, reported to be of God, you want to notice the person through whom it's coming, if it's coming from another person, and what kind of an attitude is there. You know, you want to measure that. And then you want to measure the effect that it's having on you. And that'll tell you just that quick. And you will be assured. Can I reinforce this? The spirit of a man is the candle of the Lord. Where is God going to speak to you? If there is a difference of opinion between what you feel and what this other person is saying about your life, which one do you follow? Because you have word on it. Do you understand that? Very important. If there's a conflict between what you're hearing and what you're sensing in your spirit, you follow what your spirit's telling you, because God says that's where I'm going to lead you from. So don't you marry that guy. I don't care how good looking he is. Don't you marry him unless in here, see? He's probably 40 years old, isn't he? Proverbs chapter 20. What's wrong with 40, she said. My thoughts exactly. The acoustics are so good in here, you can't say anything without me hearing it. And I'm likely not to let it pass. Proverbs 24, let's go back to that again. Now, these are the scriptures that I had in the bulletin this morning. Verse 3 and 4. Through wisdom is an house builded, and by understanding it is established. And by knowledge shall the chambers be filled with all precious and pleasant riches. When you are operating in the wisdom of God, in your inner chambers will dwell all kinds of precious and pleasant riches. God is not the author of confusion. He hasn't called us to confusion. For where confusion is, there's every other kind of evil work. It's a dead giveaway. God has called us to peace. He gave us a spirit of power and love and a sound mind, not a confused mind, a peaceful mind, a peaceful existence, and He has called us to a successful life. Yes, it will have tribulation. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, and we will have difficulties, but we will have a peaceable and prosperous life. That's our inheritance. It belongs to us. Jesus Christ has provided for it. And if we'll listen and learn to hear the voice of our spirit, if we'll learn to follow that. You go on and just do what God's Word says do. Whether you understand or not, just do it. And when you do it, you'll begin to really learn. You will begin to understand what I'm talking about tonight. You will experience these things. Oh, that's what He was talking about. That's what He meant. You'll experience it. And once you experience it, then you will be operating in Hebrews 4:14 that says, but strong meat belongeth to them who are of full age, who by reason of use have their senses exercised so that they can discern between good and evil. See, you're going to have to experience these things. You're going to have to make some choices along the way so that you can have your senses exercised by using them. That way, the next time it comes along, you'll be able to distinguish between good and evil. I tell you, it is so much sharper for me than it ever was. And the longer I serve God, I know when I first came to know the Lord, I felt like many of you must. How am I ever going to do this? You just get so frustrated. You want to, but you just don't understand, and you don't know which do I do, and everything looks so reasonable and rational, and what God wants you to do looks so unreasonable, and but yet that's what you'd want to do and desire to do, and the pressures from the people round about you are so strong against you, and the advice that you get is so bad, and the pressure is very strong. It's especially strong within families and can be very strong within the church family. And I've experienced that, and still, you know, I still do. I'm not fully apprehended yet either, as you know. But I know what you're doing, and I know that day by day, if you will let your senses be exercised, that the day will come as you look back on it and say, praise God. I really do my senses really have been exercised. I really can't eat that. I can chew on that old steak. I really can't eat that strong meat now. It will come. But it has to come with revelation like this. You've got to know on what basis to make these choices. I pray that you jotted down these scriptures tonight. Go back and meditate on them in the sequence in which we gave them. And it will give you a constancy and a stability to your Christian life if you'll learn to act in this. It'll give you a stability to your Christian life that most believers don't have and want desperately. Amen. I feel so good to have brought that forth tonight. It just, I know it's important to us as a body. I know it's important to each of us as individuals. And I am, as I preach, I want, for me personally, I want that sense of satisfaction that says on the inside of me where God gives me His wisdom that, okay, that's what I wanted you to do, and it's done. And that I feel that way tonight. And it's a wonderful, glorious, peaceful, pure, gentle, full of mercy, and so on kind of feeling. Amen.